You're tuned into the Awakening Zone Radio Network, your news and information source for empowered spiritual awakening.
Hello, this is Karen Elkins, and welcome to Science to Sage Radio. This is where Science to Sage magazine comes alive. Today, we have a surprise guest. We don't know if Jonathan's going to show up because he's off at a workshop, but we have also, who's been announced before, was Jeff Gidiak. Did I do that right?
Gidiak.
Oh, okay. And Jeff was in this last issue of The Living Matrix, and it has to do with how the brain works, frequencies, and how we either get entrained or how it's the versus, well, it's entrainment versus stimulation. And so I want to tell you a little bit about Jeff, and then we'll invite him to enlighten us, because it's actually been a very interesting and, I'm going to say, a little bit of controversial issue. So Jeff is actually graduated from, I think, high school at 15. Is that what it was? And you did neuro-linguistic programming at the age of 15. He studied psychology at the University of Windsor for 4 years before becoming a clinical hypnotherapist, licensed master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, and a world-renowned expert in brain entrainment and brainwave stimulation. Jeff published author, writing his first book in 1999, with his most recent contribution is The Secret Skill, Appearing in Adventures and Manifesting Success in Spirituality. I think we all need a little bit of that, don't we? You actually gave me, Jeff, you gave me a clue about that the other day. I asked you, how is it that some people manifest and some people don't? And you talked about how to collapse the wave. You want to enlighten us? Because I thought that was kind of tricky.
Well, I think manifestation is a really cool thing. And what I've come to really understand is that when we're looking at things, we collapse the wave, right? When we're not paying attention, there's infinite possibilities there. And I think there's a divine order to the process of actual manifestation, and that a lot of people miss when we're actually trying to call in something into existence, whether it be a goal or something that we want to change our lives with, calling it, creating it into something that we can experience with our five senses. And I think most of the time we put the cart before the horse, so to speak, right? And, and so what I've discovered is a divine order to do things. And we can talk about that. I think it's really, really fascinating. But essentially, the rules for the divine order of manifestation really just says that you have to create the spiritual, energetic, intellectual, and emotional foundation for whatever it is you want to create in this 3D reality before it can become part of this physical reality. If you don't create those foundational aspects first, it just simply can't exist in this reality where we can touch and feel it and experience it with our five senses.
Explain that. You mean we have to go experience it outside of ourselves to bring it in, or that we need to, in our mind's eye, picture it and embody it and practice it in a mental way?
Well, I mean, those are all true, but let me explain it in a different way. In order to really create something, to manifest something, you have to first believe that it's possible, and it's possible for you, right? Otherwise, it's not going to work out. So whatever it is that you're asking for and that you want to create, you have to believe it's possible, number one, and it's possible for you. Number two, you have to believe that you are worth it and that you deserve it. If not, right, it's going to cause a problem. Thirdly, you have to make sure that it's not impinging upon anybody's free will, right? So you have to create something that's really about yourself, because otherwise we talked about that collapse in the wave, we're going to have a lot of people, wanting to collapse a different wave revolving around the same thing. And it's an aspect of quantum physics. So you have to make sure that you're really not impeding on anybody's free will. The fourth thing is you have to make sure that it's not going to create a conflict with any of your beliefs, morals, ethics, values, and your, like quality of life issues. Sometimes we want stuff for ourselves, and we don't think it through, because if we get it, the quality of our life changes in the way that we won't like. So we have to make sure that we don't create any conflicts there for something that we're trying to manifest. And lastly, the fifth thing, is that when we manifest things, we have to do it from a place of either happiness, peace, or what I like to refer to as a divine neutral state. because we all know that we have a very hard time creating things for ourselves, making changes in our lives, if we do it from a place of anger, fear, anxiety, desperation, anger, jealousy. And science completely supports this, right? Because we know a lot of these emotions, what happens is it constricts blood flow away from the prefrontal cortex of the brain, and the electricity gets balled up and begins to spin like a top in one localized area of the brain, you know, left side or the right side or the other. And when that happens, we simply don't have connection to our higher resources, the areas of our brain that we can use in order to achieve our goals, to bring in those things we really want in our lives. So, you know, anything that we want to create for ourselves and any goal that we have, and even if we're not talking about manifestation, we're just talking about simple goal achievement, right? We have to really balance that out with those five very important things. Otherwise, you know, you're going to struggle or it's just not going to work at all.
Well, here's a question to me, because it makes me think of brain waves and how waves literally go out into the field. And when, you know, I'm seeing diagrams of the brain looks like a tree. So it's like literally the tree of life is in you, sending like an antenna. So it sounds like to me you're saying that you fire off certain parts, and either you're shutting your ability to send, because you keep mentioning out there. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, at some point in time, right, you're, you know, as above, so below, right? Have you ever heard that before?
Just
right?
A few
so,
times.
Just a few times, right? So as above, so you bring in that spiritual desire, right? So it actually starts as a coming in, right, and creating it. Then it moves through that knowing, that intellectual stage, and then it has to come in and vibrate, you know, through your throat energy centers, which is your self-expression and your truth. And then as it comes down through the heart energy center, this is where it starts to integrate from the energetic realm to the physical realm, right, through your heart center. And it, you have to balance with that energy center in terms of the way that you relate with the world and other people, love and compassion. Then it comes through your solar plexus energy center, which is your will and your action, and then your sacral, which is your, you know, emotional component to it, right? Mm-hmm. So you see the process as it's moving through your entire system and balancing with all those areas and aspects of your being. And then lastly, the root chakra, which is really calling it into that physical vibration that grounds with the earth so that it can become something that we experience with our senses, all of our senses.
Got it. Now I have a question. Jonathan, is that you? Hello? 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 Well, we'll keep talking. Maybe that's not. So you're saying you have to do it from the top all the way through, vibrating it through every channel of your body.
That's a really great, I mean, a lot of us will, some people are blessed that they can do this naturally, but if you're one of these people that has really struggled with achieving goals and setting intentions and manifestation, this is really part of the divine order of how to really make it to happen, how to really integrate that whole concept of as above, so below. You have to balance it with your entire energy system and make sure that it works, right? And be open to those changes and vibrations of that intention as it moves through your entire energy system. You know, saying that I balance this desire with, you know, in divine vibration with my throat chakra, then my heart chakra, and then this is just languaging about how to do it, but it's a way to do it for sure.
But it sounds like then, because I was looking at Jonathan Goldman's work, and, you know, here we have an entire body system, and some parts are in alignment and some parts out. So there's certain parts of our own beingness where we have more power than others. And part of what I understand of energy healing is bringing ourselves back into balance.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so
Yeah,
and you so the here's the difference, the question. You do programs where people can do sound healing,
mm-hmm.
and you mentioned there's a difference between brain wave entrainment and brain wave stimulation. So how do we, through all of these different new tools that are coming out, attune ourselves?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. There's a great difference between entrainment and stimulation. And so brainwave entrainment is sort of a buzzword that's really growing in popularity these days. And what entrainment is the process of using external stimulus, usually sound or light, to stimulate the brain into a specific frequency range of operation. So our brain is producing electricity all the time, and it's doing it based on what we're thinking, what we're feeling. You know, some stuff we're aware of, some stuff we're not aware of. But it's the sum result, the electrical activity in our brain is the sum result of all that stuff that's going on, all 70,000 thoughts that we have a day, and you know, some of the stuff that's going on in the preconscious and the subconscious, so on and so forth. But based on what it is that we're doing, expressing, feeling, thinking, when we measure those brain waves, we'll typically see what we call a dominant brainwave pattern, right? And when that's measured in cycles per second. And based on what it is that we see there, we can make some reasonable assumptions and some pretty accurate predictions about what a person is thinking, feeling, doing, and also what they're capable of thinking and feeling and doing in that specific state while their brain's electrical activity is at a specific range. We have people have been studying EEGs, brainwave activity, for over 100 years with ever-increasing greater precision to the point now that we can take a look at somebody's brainwave activity and we can determine if they have ADD or ADHD or if they're struggling or if they're stressed or if they're asleep or if they're asleep but dreaming. And so we have this electrical blueprint about all the range of emotions and functionality of the human being, ranging from the most basic to those superhuman zone states where we can accomplish just about anything. And so what entrainment does is it says, okay, well, after looking at, you know, 100 years of research, we know that when people's brains are vibrating at 4.0 cycles per second, hertz, right, that typically they're in this, you know, dreamless sleep, and certain things are happening in their body in regards to, you know, the limbic system and the healing and vitality. So what they do is they create stimulatory technology using light and sound, most often sound, but sometimes we get light involved into the action. And we give people, we feed this frequency back to the senses, to the eyes, and to the ears. And what happens is the brain begins to respond to that. Now, entrainment, what it tries to do is it tries to force the brain to a specific type of dominant brainwave functioning, okay, which there's a lot of benefit to it. But where I've been gravitating more towards is simply the stimulation. And so the stimulation doesn't try to force the brain to go anywhere. What it does is it simply takes all the research we have and say, you know, this is a really good frequency. It really benefits people. Let's give that to a person in a simple feedback loop and let their brain respond to it the way that it wants to. And what I've discovered is that that's a better way, because, you know, while we can tell all the averages, we can say on average people's brains that are vibrating at 10 cycles per second, they're relaxed. But it's not for everybody, right? Those are just the averages, right? So why try to force the brain using complicated technology to go to that 10 cycles per second when all we really have to do is say, let's provide that frequency in its purest form at 10 cycles per second and let a person's brain respond to its highest good. And what I've discovered, that's what happens, is that the brain knows how to heal. The brain knows what it needs. I mean, we get trapped, we get blocked, we get all kinds of things that happen. We just need to be reminded of and get provided with some of that electrical nutrition, if you would, you know, to remind us how to vibrate in a way that really works for us. So the philosophy of stimulation isn't about controlling where the brain goes, but literally just giving all the, if you will, take this metaphor, nutrients, right, that the brain needs in the form of a sound and light stimulation, and let the brain respond to it in a way that works best for it. And since I've adapted this philosophy and included it in the products I've created, the testimonials and the positive feedback that I get have literally doubled. I mean, it just happened like that. Whereas before, sometimes we would release a product and testimonials would come trickling in here and there naturally. The last one I released, it was 3 hours after I released it that they started flooding in at a rate and speed. And it was simply by changing my philosophy about how we deliver the technology to stop forcing, but rather just giving. And it just works a lot better.
Now, is that the difference between you doing it and having intent behind it, or actually how you actually develop the program?
It's actually how I develop the technology.
Okay.
Right. So, it's specifically in the technology. Of course, that my intention comes into it, because my intention is to create the technology that simply works as a stimulatory form in a way that helps the brain respond and react and grow to its highest good. Right. So the intention is also a part of the creation, part of that technology. But it's specifically how the technology is delivered to the person that makes it different from the entrainment style.
Would one be, Jeff, where one would be you'd be driving one particular sort of frequency range versus one where you would allow it to relax and do a variety of things or vary it a bit so the brain could choose?
That's right. That's exactly it. So instead of saying, you know, I want everybody's brain to be at 10 cycles per second, We're gonna provide 10 cycles per second. We're gonna vary it. We're gonna include 11. We're gonna include 4. We're gonna include 2. We're gonna include 15. And when we move it in ranges, the one thing that I do is I usually keep it in a range. So if I want to stimulate an alpha range, I'm usually just using all those frequencies within an alpha range. I won't very often include something like subdelta or gamma when I'm really just focusing on the alpha range, right? So usually I keep it, you know, within a range, right? But sometimes I do. Depending on what it is that we're trying to accomplish with the product, I may include some of these other ranges.
No, because it makes me think of the chakra, and then some people are, you know, on certain areas or maybe overactive, and some might be underactive. So within a particular range, you could provide both frequencies, and then they could adapt to what it is that would be more nourishing for their being. Is that would that also be another way of looking at it?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's exactly what happens. You know, we've done this with this process, and we've hooked people up to EEGs, and we'll put this one audio on that really focuses on the alpha range, and we see how people respond. And some people's brains are responding, you know, with something totally different, but they're having such a wonderful experience, and their brainwave activity starts to balance out, and their blood flow in the brain starts to balance out. Yet the next person, they're listening to the same thing, but they pick up on a totally different one. Right, and again, their brains begin to balance out, and their blood flow begins to balance out, and their emotional experience begins to stabilize. Yet, the way their brain is responding to the very same audio is very different.
Because we're all frequency-based beings,
but
not all of us are vibrating at the same frequency. Otherwise, we'd all have the same vibes, and we'd have a very boring world.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, I think that we... And the other part that's interesting to me is that we just did the last issue was on the Living Matrix, which had water in it. And since our body is so filled with water, and water carries the charge to all of these parts that literally light up, but it also, like with rainbow, it's reflecting the color. So when you're beginning also to play with the notion of color.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that, so to me it makes sense how it would actually work. It's actually bringing a full stimulation in from all sensory things, but that would be my assumption. So how does it work?
Well, in terms of our external organs, sense organs, our eyes project to the largest portion of our brain and central nervous system, right? So it makes sense providing really great frequency ranges through the eyes would work really well, right?
But right.
It projects, our eyes project roughly to 40% of the cortex in the brain, and there's aspects of that that goes directly into the central nervous system where it gets shared with every molecule in our body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a massive pathway that we can put in such beautiful frequencies for our body and the water in our body and all our molecules to resonate with. Our ears is also one of the other largest pathways, but our ears are a little bit different. Our ears is truly the absolute definition of a periphery organ, right? In that it takes information coming from all directions, up and down, sideways, 360 degrees at all times, all the time, and it never shuts off, right? And
mm-hmm.
So the way that it projects into our central nervous system and into our brain is actually quite a bit different, especially in terms of the way the energy is encouraged to cross between the hemispheres of the brain. So we know that through the optic pathway, we can get some cross-hemispheric communication, but it's actually a very simple mechanism. Through the ears, we use our ears, the sense organ, to determine the position and location of sounds around us in relative to us. and our position, right? And you know, if you're sitting, you know, in alone in your house at night and you hear a creak from one side of it, you know, what do? You turn your head right away. It's almost, it happens automatically, right?
Right.
And it's all part of, because if you hear it again, right, your brain wants to hear that sound approach your ears a little bit differently so it can further triangulate its position. And you also want to see if you can capture it with your eyes as well, right? So in order to triangulate a position and determine its location relative to you, a massive amount of internal math has to happen, and it occurs in the brain on a preconscious and subconscious level, right? And in order to facilitate that math to occur, right, what happens is that the electric, depending on how the sound approaches the ears and your head, it will bounce back between the hemispheres of your brain in a way that's infinitely more complex than any other organ that we have in the body. And as a result, we encourage a massive amount of cross-hemispheric communication, which can be incredibly useful when we're trying to balance the brain out. So here's a great example. If somebody is really stressed and frustrated, and we know if we take the picture of the brain, we're likely to see the majority of the blood flow stuck in one area, and wherever the blood flow is, that's where the electricity is, or wherever the electricity is, that's where the blood flow is. Mm. Chicken and the egg kind of question, right? But that's what we see. And so if it's balled up on one side of the brain or the other, we're not accessing our full capabilities, our full resources. We're not able to listen to our heart brain or any of the energy coming from our senses or otherwise, right? And so when you force or encourage this cross-hemispheric communication, what happens is that that balled up electricity begins to unwind, right? Mm. And it begins to balance in the brain, and the blood flow starts to follow the electricity, and all of a sudden we've got access to our prefrontal cortex, we've got access to our higher reasoning function and all these things. So that's why using the sound part of it, we can encourage a lot more really cool things with sound than we can directly with light. But using them both in conjunction is incredibly powerful to elevating our healing and our brain functioning in just about every aspect of our human experience.
Well, you know, you make me think of something that has to do with education and kids. And the question I have is, when you're talking about the crossover and the blood flow and some kids being more right brain dominant and some being more left brain dominant, I'm sure that some of what you can do can actually enhance the flow, no?
Absolutely, it absolutely does. Matter of fact, there's a wealth of clinical research, and a lot of it has been done in schools, which is kind of strange because they won't allow this technology in schools, yet the best peer-reviewed clinical research where doctors have, you know, they stake their reputation on this is awesome research, and it's absolutely true, has been actually done in schools. And they know it to be true. It's proven to be true. It's not up for debate anymore. It's a fact. Has been proven to improve the intellectual performance of children with ADD or ADHD. You know, using the WSI-3 or C-3 scale that measures like 5 primary areas of intelligence, it might be 4, something like that. They've actually proven that they can increase all those intelligent levels by incorporating the sound technology. You know, I think it was a couple times, 35 minutes twice a week, right, using sound and light, actually, stimulation. And they were able to increase their intelligence scores after 6 weeks by an average of 33%.
That's massive.
Right? So it's crazy good, right?
Right.
It's amazing. And so why won't they let it into the educational system? Very interesting. I don't know. But it's but it actually is. So what I tell parents, I did this whole interview about successful kids and the revolution about coaching parents, saying that, you know, you really need to advocate for your child, and you have to really you really have to take responsibility, and you can't think that the educational system is going to do it for you. So when you find tools like this, you've got to really take the responsibility for yourself and work with your children, because at the end of the day, the educational system, if you really look at its political structure and its function in our society and in our economy, it doesn't care about you or your children. What it cares about is creating enough little worker bees to extend and this is very controversial, I know, but if you really think about it, and to preserve the economy and to increase GDP, they don't actually care about you. Okay, and that's the fact. Okay, so you have to make sure you go out and you advocate for your child and you do what's necessary.
Well, you know what's interesting? Because when I used to run a school, and we had a lot of kids with learning differences that were gifted, like you, and some of them, we would use something that was based on a Tomatis method called Unlisten. And what they were dealing with, the bone conductive part of the ear, and realized what they could do is they could distinguish what year, at what age, what the male or female, mom or dad or whatever, where certain frequencies were literally tuned out. And so when they'd go into a classroom, you could look at things like processing speed or coding and decoding issues where these kids were failing.
Mm-hmm.
And once they had were able to do some of these processes where they could actually re-invite certain frequencies back in, then the kids had the full range. Some kids could begin to read better. Some kids, you know, healed better. Just all kinds of things. I'm sure you can explain what's going on there.
Well, I'm only somewhat familiar with the process. It makes complete sense to me because, for example, I had a client that I was flown out to deal with, and this person suddenly, a certain beta range of their brainwave activity disappeared from their brain, right? And the part of brainwave activity that disappeared from their brain had to do with the conscious processing. Right, verbal skills, math skills, that sort of thing, and we're usually in this particular beta range when we're awake. Well, this particular beta range, his brain did not produce it anymore, and the more we researched it and found out, is that it was all tied to a trauma and a series of experiences that happened into his life. So we were able to reintroduce these frequencies through a feedback loop to his brain, and his brain began to respond, and within a few days, right, that full functioning of activity came right back. So it is my assumption and my theory that this could happen through any aspect of the way our senses take in information from the world. If it's associated, you know, sometimes parents, something could happen, somebody could die, or some kind of traumatic event could happen, or something that would just cause a suppression or a what's the word I'm looking for? A they just ignore the the certain range for whatever reason. And so any process that we can use to bring that back to the experience is incredibly healing.
Yeah, and the kids were spelling better, reading better, because then they could hear the whole range. Many kids who had lisp or couldn't enunciate, people will just thought there was a problem, but they're not hearing frequencies. It stood to reason that we had an issue, whether it was an auditory or visual or sensory sort of something coming in. But many times with the vagus nerve, all of it was affected because that's the battery system going down the spine and affecting the whole nervous system within the brain.
Absolutely. And a really great example of how this works and how sophisticated the brain is about how it does this, and it's really interesting that you're working with that particular bone in the ear, because the brain does control what that bone will perceive and accept and allow through in terms of the altering the wave, reducing the wave, the compression of the wave, all that stuff. So everybody's had this experience where they've been in a car, they've been in a room, and this, you know, your favorite song comes on, right, or something, and you go like, oh man, I gotta have this louder, right? And you crank it right up, right? And it's real loud. And then maybe you gotta get out of, you know, you arrive at your destination, you get out of your car, and you leave. And then when you come back in the car and you turn the keys and it blares and you're like, oh my god, you know, it's you know, how could I have ever had it this loud? How does it go this loud? Well, what happens is that your brain very quickly, as you're increasing the volume, is changing the way those bones accept in frequencies temporarily. And it happens very quickly, almost instantaneously, right? And then it changes again after you're outside of that loud music. So this is how this whole process, I would assume, works.
I was reading Jonathan Goldman's work as well, and he said, you know, sometimes we think that louder is better, or in this society today, more is better. But it isn't always so, is it?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I think not. So how is it, through all of the research, you've done a ton, so how do you know that all of this works? It's through this, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of ways we know that it works. One is that we have, and this is one of my favorite ways. I mean, I talk to scientists all the time, so I like to serve them up all the research and show them the brainwave videos and the EEG reports and all this stuff. But really what matters is what people write back and say, oh, my goodness, my life has changed.
Okay.
You know, the phone calls that I get. I get thousands of testimonials every single year from people that use the products, and they're ranging to, you know what, I feel better every day. My brain just works a little bit better. To, you saved my life. I was going, like, I had a lady call me, and it was everything I could do not to just bawl into tears, because she said, I was ready to commit suicide. I got your program. Suffered with major depressive disorder, and that, by the way, is an understatement based on what she was going through and what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But for the words, I think that's the best way to describe it. And she said, in 2 weeks, I'm using the Life Response Frequencies program, everything turned around in her brain. You know, and suddenly she was just thinking better. And you know, and I believe the reason why it worked for her is that it's the only thing it did is it balanced out the electrical activity in her brain, and it restored blood flow to the areas of her brain that allows her to take control of her thought process and her moods. Right?
So
a lot of the times,
like I was thinking it's like a chemical reaction.
Well, yeah. I mean,
if
the blood flow and the electricity is not running through the equipment's not going to work.
Right.
Bottom line, right? And so, you know, if we get an injury to an arm or something in our body, what's the first thing we got to do, right? Get the blood flow. Why do you got to get the blood flow in there? Because it removes the toxins, it brings the nutrition, it heals, it makes the whole system work. Same goes with the brain. But what we don't realize is that emotions, right, is what constricts the electricity and the blood flow and makes part of our brain not work. Well, what happens if that blood flow and that electricity is kept away from that organ that produces serotonin or that allows the limbic system to go through parasympathetic recovery that has to do with inflammation or that's in charge of producing beta endorphins? Well, it doesn't work. And what happens is that you feel like crap. And people tell you, right, they'll tell people that, hey, they'll say, here's a thinking strategy to get yourself out of it. Well, it's too late for that. See, because once your brain is compromised and the organs and the equipment in your brain are not getting the power they need to produce the neurochemicals, the thoughts, the capabilities to pull yourself out of it, you can't use your mind to think your way out of it because that part of your brain is not working.
Mm.
Yet one of the, right?
And, mm-hmm. And I think that's a key thing to know.
Well, it is the absolute thing to know
yeah.
because the 90% of the modalities out here today, what they try to do is say, hey, look, we're going to give you strategies to think your way out of it. Well, it doesn't work, right? I mean, it's a miracle if it does, okay? And sometimes it does work. But, I mean, unless you catch, you know, you got to train people to feel better more often, and that can be very hard to do, but you can do it, right? But one of the easiest ways to do it is just introduce technology that gets the electricity and the blood flow back. And as soon as that happens with a lot of people, their brain turns on, and that's what happened with this lady, right? As soon as her capacity to think clearly and the parts of her brain to produce those great neurochemicals turned on, well, then everything was easy, right? But it was just shut off. And sometimes that happens through trauma. Sometimes it happens through negative emotions. And if those negative emotions become strong because it's attached to trauma, right, and people have a capacity to perseverate sometimes that is very high, right? And some people don't perseverate, but for those that do, when they get trapped into a negative cycle of emotion, it can be debilitating to the point where they get these major depressive disorders.
So you have, we were talking about overwhelm, but there must be some common themes that show up with the work that are common. So what are the common and the most common things that show up for you that people need to work on?
Well, I mean, the most common thing is really just stress, fear, anxiety, and overwhelm.
Okay.
Right? Those are the most basic things. And the one thing that we know about all those emotions is that they cut off blood supply to various aspects of your brain. They cut off really great electricity to a lot of areas of brain. I mean, there's always some flowing, right? But the stuff that's needed for all your brain to work really well, it just chokes a lot of area of your brain. It starves it. Right, so it doesn't work well. And that's
like
stress, fear, anxiety, and overwhelm, right?
Isn't that the fight and flight thing that we talk about? So when it draws it from the frontal cortex and it takes all the blood down to the reptilian part of the brain, right, where then it stays in that fight and flight mode?
Yeah, and if it really stays specifically around the reptilian part of the brain, then we call that hypervigilance, right? And
okay.
So we move into sort of a different type of disorder. But for most people, it's not that severe, right?
Okay.
But just everyday stress, everyday overwhelm, everyday fear about the future pulls enough resources away from those important areas of our brain that it affects our ability to make decisions. It affects our ability to think clearly. It affects our ability to think our way through things and go, you know what, it's not that bad. I can choose to feel better right now, right? But when there's too much of those resources pulled from those areas of the brain that allow you to do that, you can't do it. And you can't make good decisions. And, you know, if nothing else, your life right now, whether you love it, hate it, or anything in between, is a factor of, you know, a couple things. Where you were born, what you were taught, you know, maybe the resources you were given, the opportunities that opened up to you. But beyond that, what you did with it based on the decisions that you made.
Right.
Right? And so the quality of your life is intimately tied to your ability to make consistent good decisions that are in your best interest.
Well, the other one that shows up here, yeah, go ahead.
And as soon as you are living a life day to day that's filled with stress and anxiety and all these things, guess what? You're not doing it. You're not making the best possible decisions that gives you the life that you want to live. And here's the most tragic part about this, is that my research indicates that a smarter a person is, the less they believe what I just said is going to be true.
Now, why is that?
Because people that have been affirmed of their intellectual abilities all their lives say, you know what, I can make a great decision despite whatever's going on in my life because I'm so smart, you know. They're just, you know what I mean? It's that ego kicks in. But like I said, this is one of the things that's not up for debate anymore, right? This is not up for debate. It's a fact. And the tragic part is that we have some of the most intelligent cross-sections of our population saying, it doesn't affect me, I'll just power through it, right? And they don't take time to take care of their brain and their emotional disposition, and they end up serving society at a third of what they could be if they only took time to manage their emotional state and do things that are required to restore brain function in those stressful times.
Oh, you know what? That seems so important just to do that for children in school. Because I remember a time, Jeff, a kid came in, and he looked at me, and he had been in the classroom, and the teacher sent him out and said, I just can't function with him in the classroom right now. And I said, okay. So I sat with him. I looked at him for 1 second in his eyes, and I could see that his father had raged in the morning. And this poor little guy, I mean, he's going to school, and he's trying to, like, get it together in grade four when he just came from a very angry household and a very angry dad. And he's nervous. And how do you get that poor kid to settle down? And then he would get a reputation of being a troublemaker. But he doesn't even know how to settle his brain. Oh,
and,
I just think of that.
Yeah, and you're right. It's critically important. My wife is a teacher in one of the worst schools in our city, and she chooses to teach there. And she's gifted teacher, and she can recognize these things right away. And of course, we talk a lot about it. And so, one of the physical activities that I tell people to do, and even teachers if they can do it, right? You just help them change their breathing patterns. See, because one of the things that we know is that you can, through flexing and tensing various muscle groups in the body in combination with changing the way that you breathe, we can encourage just about any change in the brain, including neurochemical productions. We can actually target beta endorphins and serotonin specifically if we do it right. So what you can do is you can say, right, there's a couple kids in your class and you recognize that they're suffering so very badly. We go, everybody stand up and we're going to do this little deep breathing exercise, and we're going to bring in the air, and we're going to fill up. We're going to put our hands in our belly button, and this is an actual true exercise that will change the way you feel almost instantly. So if anybody out there listening is trapped in a stressful emotion, try this for a little while, but find a private place to do it. Otherwise, people are going to look at you funny. I've done this in public, and I can tell you this from experience. Find a closet, whatever, right? But what you do is you put... You put your hands on your belly button, and you breathe out as much as you can, pushing your hands out with your diaphragm as far as you can go, expelling as much air as you possibly can. And then after you're done, you bring it in, inhale as much as you can right from that diaphragm. And the next time, as you exhale, you use a vocalization like this. You go, ha, 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 ha. right? It sounds kind of crazy, right? That's why I say don't do this in public. People will go, what? You know?
Okay.
Ha, 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 ha. And what that does is it causes certain muscles to flex in and around the stomach and the diaphragm that share some of the same electrical connections in the brain as the area that helps produce beta endorphins. Yay!
Mm.
Right? And so what happens is that we encourage all of a sudden some positive neurochemical production by this simple exercise. Right? So you can bring that into a classroom, and you can have everybody do it. Everybody will benefit, right? But that one kid right there is going to start to change. Right?
Mm.
And then you can start to introduce activities that help balance out his brainwave activity. Like you can have him cross his arms and legs, or his arms over his legs, put his left hand on his right knee and his left hand on the right knee, and then we lift the right hand, which is on the left knee, and have the knee go up in tandem with that hand, right? So it's that crossover stuff. That also caused some of the electrical activity in the brain to start bouncing from side to side, and all that negativity will begin to unwind, and there you go.
I think
that
goes back to the electrical nature of the body. And the polarities we have within the water, and the polarities we have from side to side, and from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that true? I mean, that's the electrical nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
We are not really taught that we're an electric body.
We are a bioelectric chemical body.
Yes.
Magnetic.
With charges.
And magnetic.
Go ahead.
Too,
yeah. No, the magnetic is the part. Here's the question. There's been a discussion where I'm at right now because I'm not home doing the show. I'm actually out in Tahoe. But this thing called paramagnetism. Do you know what that is?
Say that again.
Paramagnetism, if I'm saying it right. It's the minerals that come off the rocks that create the charge, which actually we're supposed to. That's why we're supposed to have minerals, because it actually helps us aliven and give us charge. You are talking about that, the minerals that actually explain that. That might answer some of my other questions.
Okay. Well, in order for electricity to flow in a biological organism, we need minerals. Right? Metals and things of that nature, right?
And you have to you'll explain why, right?
Well, because that's what electricity likes to go through.
Okay.
So if we had rubber in our brain, it wouldn't work really well.
Okay.
Right?
That's why when we have electric storms, if we have rubber-soled shoes, we're in good shape.
Right. So, I mean, this is just a really simple physics thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, electricity flows easier through some stuff than it does through other stuff, right? Bottom line.
Right.
Right, and so so when we have a complex circuit board, our motherboard, that wants to have a little bit of resistance in this area because this particular thing is going to work better, but we want really optimum electrical flow in this area because it's more important that it always be on and never go through this on-off type pulsing area. And then we have this other part of the brain that is kind of a combination of both. Sometimes we want to turn it off, but sometimes we want it to be on, and sometimes, right? And so if you were building a brain to work like this, you would use a motherboard, and you would use various types of materials and circuits in order to facilitate that, right? And you'd have various minerals and capacitors and all these things. Well, your brain is infinitely complex, right? And so we need a variety of minerals to facilitate the electrical flow, the chemical production, and all these things that our brain needs to work to the best of its ability, right? So you need these minerals in your brain. The absence of these minerals have been shown to cause everything from symptoms of ADD to post-traumatic stress disorder to paranoia to schizophrenia and Alzheimer's and all these other things. And the same goes for amino acids and fatty acids. Our brain is mostly fat, mostly cholesterol, actually. Well, not mostly, but there's the combination of fat and cholesterol and all this stuff going on. If we don't have these nutrients, or we don't have the blood flow to bring all these nutrients to the area of the brain, it's not going to work very good.
So we need a balanced diet.
Well, yeah.
But it's essential to have the minerals.
You got to have those minerals, right? Those minerals are critically important. And the dangerous part about our food system and our supply right now is that, like, for example, a tomato has like 30 to 40% less nutrients than it did, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, we have to kind of do our own research and think about what it is that we're putting in our body and how we can maximize our nutrition.
You gave me a formula the other day. You said carrots and three things. What do we need the three things to make sure that we're balanced? I remember that.
I think I was kind of joking. It was part of a joke. I said, eat a carrot once in a while, you know?
No, you said carrots, cucumbers. Cucumbers were alkaline.
Yeah,
could
cucumbers,
you
carrots.
That?
Yeah, I remember that. You know, carrots, cucumbers, kale. Love kale.
Okay.
A lot of, you know, celery, you know, for your sodium and different things. And,
okay.
You know, those three things are incredible.
Right.
Garlic,
so if you had
sulfur and great other minerals. And,
okay. Yeah, because that was actually the fun thing about this last issue was when we were looking at color, light, and sound, that if you actually looked at eating the rainbow of colors, you would get the diversity of the light spectrum, which would actually serve to bring nutrition in all sort of its full value, its full rainbow. So anyway,
That's a great policy. You know, if you're eating the rainbow, you're gonna get. And I mean, as long as the food is grown in such a way that, you know, minerals are going into it, and it's just not been, you know, some freak of nature genetic modification that just pumps itself full of water, you know, you'll be all right.
No, but I like the idea of the motherboard. So come continue with that, because in essence, we as people mimic what's literally going on in our own bodies, and we manufacture it on the outside, actually revealing to our own selves ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've talked about this, carried aside, is that, you know, if the motherboard's not working well, not
right.
very much else does. And, you know, if your life, your health, your body, your experience that you have in life, what the stuff you want to create for yourself and your children, and, you know, the most important thing that's going to allow you to make decisions to carry that forth is the health of your motherboard.
Right.
Without that, nothing happens.
Well, that it goes back to the whole notion is, what are we? We have all of these electrical systems, but when it really comes down to it, it's all consciousness.
Right. And, you know, sometimes I say things in a little bit of a harsh way, but our consciousness is in this meat suit. And that's the
harsh absolutely.
Way, right?
Yep.
But it's in this meat suit. And so when we die, our consciousness, you know, depending on your orientation or belief, will do all kinds of great things, right? But
mm-hmm.
while that energy is flowing inside this meat suit, it either works or it doesn't. And
yeah.
it's going to be in a state of health or dis-ease. And the most important part of having an easy life and being able to create what you want and achieve your goals and build the future you'd love for yourself is the health of your motherboard.
Yeah, and so what you have is a toolbox full of different sort of frequencies that help us balance different aspects when we're feeling out of balance in that way. So you have what? Give us a range of the different sort of. You have happiness. You have weight loss. What? Give me an idea of where we might get stuck, and what kind of programs you have.
Well, I've got on my website at jeffreygeniac.com. I've got all kinds of stuff there, right? But the program that really is the widely purchased and acclaimed, and more testimonies for that than anything else, is something called the Life Response Frequencies Program. And it's because it's a full program. I mean, there's all kinds of training videos on how to use the technology, great user guide and all this stuff. But the highlight of it is the five core modules, because it really addresses the five core needs of our motherboard, of our operating system, of our 3D life here that we need to have to really live a fulfilled life. And that is happiness, prosperity and abundance, peace and harmony, health and vitality, and energy, love, and enlightenment. Right? Mm-hmm. Those are the five things that we have to bring into our lives, right, to live a truly fulfilled life, and those are the things that we have to have balanced in our lives if we truly want to create and achieve our goals without all the stress and struggle. When any of these things are really out of balance, things start to fall apart. We get self-sabotage, we get struggle, we get stress, we get overwhelmed and all this stuff. But as we begin to balance these areas of our lives, a lot of stuff just sort of falls into place and life becomes easier. And so there's the five core modules. The first one is called Happiness Essentials, and it's really using technology that encourages production of really good feel-good brain chemicals. It helps gives you all kinds of frequencies that we know that if you're struggling with happiness, the act of your responding to these sound frequencies are simply going to assist you in being just a little bit more happier more often. You'll feel better more often. And like every single module in the Life Response Frequencies collection, it is also designed to improve cross-hemisphere communication and expand blood flow in the brain, which we've discussed how truly and vital important that is. And this, you know, so every single module has that component of it. The second module is Prosperity and Abundance Essentials. And I want people to know, I called it Prosperity and Abundance Essentials and not Get Your Money Essentials, you know, not Gold Essentials, because, you know, Prosperity and Abundance Essentials is a way of thinking. It's a way of being, right? And when you embrace and your brain functions in this way, right, and you live your life with prosperity and abundance, usually that money thing follows, right? But okay. It's a way of thinking and it's a way of being. You talk to every entrepreneur and anybody that's ever really created amazing amount of success, financial abundance in their lives anyways, right? You'll see that they're always creating. They're always moving forward. And that's the process of prosperity and abundance. It is about moving forward, not staying stagnant, embracing that creativity, that side of your life. That's
well,
what that's
the,
about.
Here's the other question, because, you know, that goes into some people who work and work and work, and I see them, you see them all the time, but maybe their confidence and their self-esteem isn't necessarily there. Would that help collapse waves so they wouldn't have an experience that?
Well, I mean, yeah, the overall, that falls in more into the energy and enlightenment and the happiness essentials, and we'll get there.
Okay.
As soon as you start to you know, balance your activity in these five major ways, a lot of these other symptoms disappear. And that's what they often are. They're symptoms of other stuff being out of balance, right?
Okay,
and
yep.
So as you begin to balance this energy, a lot of those symptoms disappear. This is not like a Tylenol, which just masks the symptoms. This is about balancing the sources of the roots of the symptoms so they just completely go away.
Got
right?
it.
So the next module is Peace and Harmony Essentials. And this is a very interesting one, is that at different stages of our lives, this is more important. Right? So for a 22-year-old, right, peace and harmony is not as important as for someone in their mid-40s, 50s, and 60s. The older we get, the more we require this peace and harmony state of being and thinking in our lives to be truly fulfilled and happy and to be able to create the life we want to live. Kids, and you know this, kids are great with chaos. Some of them love it, right? But as we grow older, right, we have a desire for this. It's part of this natural process. And so Peace and Harmony Essentials really helps to provide those frequency ranges that encourages the brain to be able to enter that deep, peaceful, and harmonious state. And again, it also encourages that cross-hemispheric communication and increased blood flow in the brain. The next one is Health and Vitality Essentials. This is one of my favorite ones because no matter, you know, I mean, I'm in great health, but I like to use this one at nighttime before I go to bed because it helps me start my day at the best. And this provides frequency ranges for the brain in a feedback loop so our brain can respond to it in a way that helps put our limbic system into parasympathetic recovery, which is ridiculously important, right? Because anybody who knows anything about really the true causes of disease knows that the ones that kill us the most are and debilitate us the most at its root has inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so inflammation. The function of our limbic system, one of the functions of it, okay, is to deal with that inflammation as we sleep. As we get into deep delta sleep, which is associated with all this, when our limbic system goes into parasympathetic recovery and it starts to handle inflammation, and it starts to do all this great healing work. But as we grow older, we find with most people they don't get into that deep delta state as much as they used to. And so therefore our capacity to deal with inflammation and all this stuff kind of goes a little wonky. And the clinical research shows that when we expose ourselves to delta and sub-delta frequencies prior to going to bed, just simply having it as a stimulatory option, after 30 days of using it, the quality of your sleep improves. You will get more deep delta brainwave activity as you sleep, and your limbic system will be able to do its job. So this is a great way to set yourself up
wow.
for a great day the night before, right? Truly
mm-hmm.
amazing. Then the fifth module is energy and enlightenment, and this is also one of my favorite because it provides frequency ranges that are shown to improve your ability to process sensory data faster and more completely. Okay, so what does that mean? That means your ability to think and go about the world goes up, right? Your ability
okay.
to process verbal things, mathematical things, handle complex, you know, complex equations, and you know, people coming at you from all angles. If you've got all this gamma brainwave activity, you're like, no problem. This is easy. I can handle this,
okay.
right? And so this is what Energy and Enlightenment Essentials does. It trains your brain to operate in a way that's more efficient in dealing with sensory data coming in. A lot of people say that it's tied with intuition as well. It also seems to be tied with love and compassion as well. When we slap EEG machines on these monks that have been, you know, meditating under waterfalls for 24 years, you know, or whatever
yeah.
they're doing, one of the things that we see is that their gamma brainwave activity is unusually high.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm. Which indicates they're able, and when I say under waterfalls, because sometimes they do this, they meditate under icy waterfalls and they can completely control their sensory experience of what's going on, right?
Mm.
And then they can go and you can give them something to focus on and they do brilliantly. You know, they're able to manage their emotional experience and their perception of the world, and that's why this frequency range is so beneficial to people. I'll often use it. You know, every module in the life response frequencies come with 10-minute, 20-minute, and 40-minute versions. And so the 10-minute versions are great. If I know I have to be at my best and I have to use my brain to the best of my ability, you know, I put this on for 10 minutes and I'm ensuring that I'm going to be, you know, the best I can be, you know, before whatever I have to do. It's really important. And the great thing about the technology is the more you use it, the more it works over time. You know, the
okay,
one thing
so
I do.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I mean, because
it's
like exercise, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, I was just thinking that.
Yeah, like when you go to the gym, right, and you go, you have this health and vitality goal, right? You know, you want to look good and you lose some weight and do whatever. And when you go to the gym, you do one workout. Did you achieve your goal in that one workout? Well, probably not, right? Unless you set the bar real low, you probably didn't get to where you want to go in that one workout, right? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, these are brain-building tools and technology, and while the vast majority of people will feel a positive shift in the way they think and feel the very first time they use it, you know, for some people it's very subtle, and for some people it's a little bit better. And so, yeah, sometimes people get big bang results right away, but those are actually a minority. Most
okay.
people, it's just like going, you know, you start off slow, but the more you use it, your brain responds. And that act of responding is very much the same as your muscle fibers respond when you pick up a weight at the gym, right?
It
grows.
Yep.
New neural pathways grows and it grows strong. The more you do it, the stronger it gets.
Oh,
right?
That's right. It is like
thing.
Growing the neural path. What fires together wires together.
Yeah, well, it's actually
yeah.
the same thing, except for the fibers are slightly different.
Okay.
You know, but it's exactly the same thing. It grows stronger. The neural pathways branch out. They grow. They respond, right? And so the more
mm-hmm.
you do it, the stronger it gets. And so
exactly.
the technology is like, I trademark a term called passive brain fitness in regards to the technology because that's really what it is. You get to put this on and, you know, with a set of headphones or you load up one of the videos that has audio and video.
Mm-hmm.
And it passively exercises your brain for a specific valued outcome.
Okay.
Right? So it's a great way to take a break and really embrace this technology and improve your life.
I think that sounds, and with that, I think we're almost there at the end of the show. And that has been very informative. Now you make me want to make sure I do it all the time. And I actually like the fact that it is the sound. It is. I like the motherboard. I like that it stimulates the light, the sound, the color, the whole meal deal. And so it encompasses a whole part of the body and invites us to align all aspects up and down, like you said, the chakra system, the meridians, and everything else. Because it sounds like the meridians are nothing but the neural pathways that the Eastern traditions have been able to sort of map, and we're just beginning to recognize here in the West.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would that be true?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, okay. And just with that, I'm going to say thank you very, very much for enlightening us today. And, you know, maybe we'll have to come back and figure out how we can help transform education so we can really help these kids to be the best that they can be. And too often they feel, in my own mind, as you would know, inadequate, because but they don't know how it feels to be any different. And they wouldn't know how to be any different. So without some of the stimulation, some of the help, some of the remediation, we kind of, what I think, get kids stuck in a particular way of being in life that becomes depressive and suicidal, and it need not be that way. So
yeah,
I think there's
so
much work, isn't it? There's so much work that needs to be done in that area, and I think that's all about healing the traumas of life, but they always too often start in our youth, and they manifest all through our life, and too many times we're like these wounded adults playing out our childish childhood, and I won't say childish, but childhood wounds. And part of this sounds like it's a way to help retrain the brain, its chemistry, its whole physiology to become the best that it can actually can be. So I know you're a gifted kid, and you graduated when you were 15, and this was part of your journey, was it not?
Yeah, it's I didn't actually graduate high school when I was 15. I was one of the youngest people to ever become a licensed practitioner of neurolinguistic programming at 15. I did breeze through everything after that, but, you know.
Yeah.
But prior to that, actually, I had a lot of learning disabilities, and that's a whole different story. But it was the work that my parents did with me in terms of my brain and my evolution, right, that really got me through it. And that's why I'm such a strong advocate for kids and parents in their educational system, and I'm 100% with you. It's, you know, see, the people that go into the educational system, the teachers, the tools, they love kids and they want to make a difference. But they're operating within a structure that really doesn't care about them. All right?
I don't think oftentimes
that
the teachers aren't trained either how to deal with them. They're not taught to learn about eyes, ears, or that there's 19 different functions that go on with the eyes that have to do with actually how we take in information, let alone how we process sound. And I've seen way too many assessments that give you the complete clue about a vision issue or an auditory or a processing, you know, processing speed, and all they do is give it a label of ADD or ADHD, as opposed to saying, you can go get some vision therapy, or, you know what, why don't you go get some N-Listen or some neurofeedback or something that will help you get that cross-lateral part of your brain going. And kids who couldn't handwrite sometimes had two eyes too set apart, and when they got to the midpoint, they couldn't even focus and see because it was fuzzy there. I have seen too many things, and then kids think that they can't do it, and actually, with a little eye training, they were beginning to do it. So, yes, I think there's much to be done in education. And unfortunately, it trails on too far late in life, and there we go. But you and I'm a dyslexic, and I don't know what you are. Are you all perfect now?
Well, you know, my spelling probably still requires a little less, you know, a little bit of work there. But you know, all the diagnosis, I used to have to go through speech therapy. I used to have to go through, I mean, they thought I would never operate like a normal human being. And all that has been taken care of. Yeah.
I do remember that. And then they figured out, oh, why can't she type? Anyway, enough of that. But to be fixed. Or just, you know what, or to be coped with in a way that really doesn't have to limit one to what they're able to produce. So with that, we're going to end the show. Thank you so much, Jeff. It was enlightening. And until next time, I think, what is next week? I can't even remember anymore. I'm in Tahoe. I'm on pseudo-vocation. Sorry, guys. With that, we're going to thank Blog Talk Radio for allowing Science to Sage magazine to come alive. Please join us next week or the week after. See, I'm not even there. I need your frequencies, Jeff.
Go get them.
I'm going to get them. I know where they are. And with that, thank you, everybody, and goodbye.
Bye for now.
Bye, Jeff.
You've been listening to the Awakening Zone Radio Network, offering insights and inspiration for our evolving consciousness.